Hi there. Hi, everybody. Happy Friday. I figured if we were going to do this today, we probably needed to have fun doing it because I have a hard word today. You know what, though? It's a good word. It's going to be a really, really good word. I think it'll walk away encouraged. It's going to explain, hopefully, a lot of things about what's going on in your world right now as a front runner. I actually had it was actually formulated from a conversation that I had the other night with my mentor. One of my mentors is 82 years old, and she is just chocked with wisdom. I wouldn't trade her for the world. Welcome to the 15-Minute Rev, by the way. I'm Dr. Missy. So I hope you're having a great Friday. But yeah, she's so full of wisdom. And, you know, I've been bugged by some stuff that's been going on. And because my heart is to see the body transformed as a deliverance minister and just to see people get free and to come into their promised land blessings. Hey, guys, how you doing on Facebook and also on YouTube? Good to see you this afternoon. But it's really bothered me in my mentor and I got into this conversation without me even knowing where God was taking me. And God was going to answer that question. And basically she ventured in and she said, you know, Missy, she goes, my husband and I, we live pretty simple lives. She goes, we don't text. We don't really, you know, use cell phones. Her husband has a cell phone. They don't really get into using the computer, you know, very much except for simple things. And she said, it's because that seems to be the new way of relating, the new way of relating with people. She goes, but you can't relate with people with three or four words on a text. And I had all these light bulbs going on, boom, 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 bing, 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 bing. That's your problem. That's the problem in the body. That's the problem in society, is that this is a new way of relating for society. And it's not God's way of relating, actually, because God is into loving people. He's into having healthy relationships. He's into getting us below the surface. So what this has provided for society is for us to stay on the surface in our relationships so that we never have to go even deeper. And so I was thinking, oh my gosh, you know, and so, you know, I called a friend last night in Australia. One of my best friends lives in Australia. Hey, James. And she and I were talking about it, and I absentmindedly made the statement. I said, you know, I'm sorry if I'm an intense person. And she said, you're not an intense person. She said, you and I love the same way. We relate with people the same way. She said, the world has gotten that far away from love, Missy. They've forgotten how to stay intense about God and able to stay, you know, in that deep fellowship with God, which allows them to deeply relate with each other. And so then people walk around feeling empty and they feel like, you know, why am I not fulfilled? Why am I not connecting with people in relationships? Why am I not having healthy relationships at work? Why is my family in such disarray? Why is the church so dysfunctional? It's because we can't get past the surface of relating and into the deeper things of God, into the deep heart of God in our love for one another, but more importantly, our love for Him. So, mahalo. This is behind me, Hawaii. So enjoy yourself while you're on vacation with me today. 15-minute rev is going to be about false shepherds. Knock the moral superiority off. It's a hard word. Please don't call me rough. I'm just speaking what He's told me to say today. I'm speaking exactly and only what the Father gave me. But this is part of the new move of God trying to realign the body right now, trying to get us back into alignment with God's heart. But it's about false shepherds, knock the moral superiority off, and let truth arise. Let truth arise. So God, I don't know about you, but I've noticed God is trying to shake people's tree. He's trying to shake people's tree and get people free from the apparatus of religion and from the political apparatuses that are operating in churches right now. And it's throwing many leaders off. It's throwing the sheep off because so many people have gotten comfortable under those false apparatuses. That's familiar. That's your go-to place when things scare you or when things make you feel uncomfortable in the body. That's your go-to. That's your normal. But that's not God's normal. That was never meant to be a part of the church. It was never meant to be part of God's kingdom. Because God says there's ways that seems right to a man, but the end is death. And so people don't get free under these apparatuses. They're built and put in place to keep people stuck. So when these people are challenged, when leaders are challenged, when the sheep are challenged, they'll even use the excuses of, you're not speaking the truth in love, without realizing that the closer you walk with God, the closer a voice walks with God, the more truthful that voice will become, the more truthful that heart should become. God is all truth. Would you not agree? He's the way, the truth, and the life. And if we understand anything about him, then we're going to see that part of his heart. That's called the narrow way, as well as our ability to love. But in this hour, I sense that God is so desperately trying to get those stuck in the lower parts of the mountain freed so that they can climb higher, so they can come under his wings of protection. Pardon me. And the other thing I'm seeing, and this is really troubling to me, I'm seeing leaders digress off the words that God has given them. God gives you a word 1 minute, and then what I'm sensing by the Spirit, you're getting phone calls from other people the next minute. Did you really say this? You better have said it if God said it. If God said it, he didn't say it to hear himself stutter. So either he said it and you heard him right the first time, or you're afraid and you're digressing off the initial statement God gave you to comply with man. Which is it? Which is it in this hour? Because those of you who are doing that, you're confusing the body when you're being complicit to man. The only person I'm choosing to please is God, and I'm sure this message isn't going to please a whole lot of people. I don't care. I'm not here for people. I'm here as a, hopefully, a deliverance minister. God sends in the deliverers to help people get free, to help them align, like he did Moses, like he did Joseph, like he did Jesus. I'm not him, but I am part of them. Moses, the Josephs. But I see leaders doing this, and when they get questioned about those truths from other scared leaders about, or if, and I'm sensing it's because other leaders are afraid and wondering if they're aligned. That's between them and God. You have to stand. Either God spoke it to you or he didn't. Because God is going to hold you accountable for what you speak and what you don't speak. Either he said it and you heard him right the first time, or he didn't speak it at all. So you shouldn't have spoken it. You're betraying God when you do these things. And trying to appeal to man. So I see leaders compromising truth now to fit in, so that they won't lose favor with those that have been in their circles. And that, I have to ask, who are you trying to protect? I'm going to be blunt. This is what God told me to say. God says, who are you trying to protect, yourself and your pocketbook or your ability to fit in? Because Jesus said that we would not fit into this world. And if leaders and sheep want to fall by the wayside because of disobedience or fears of coming deeper into the intense love of God, that's between them and God. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm not trying to be morally superior in saying that. I'm just telling you, I'm loyal. I'm going to be loyal. I don't care what it costs me. I'm not backtracking what I'm saying. I'm not going to retract this word. After I've released it, it is what it is. Take it at face value. But the truth be known in all of this, none of us can walk another person's walk for them. We can lead a horse to water, but we can't make him drink. And this is a heavy sifting season. Thank you, God. It's a heavy sifting season. God is so sifting the sheep. He's separating so precisely, is a good word I want to use. So precisely, the wheat from the chaff. He's doing it from the top down. He's doing it all over the world. And he's making it plain. So we're seeing it by what camps people choose to operate in. And your words will even find you out. He sees what's in your heart. Are you loyal? Or are you just loyal to whatever happens right now? Are you just a right now kind of a friend? A good time, Charlie. Whoever you're schmoozing with, whoever's whoever you're connected with. You don't want to lose those circles. You don't want to lose those relationships. So you're just a good, kind of a Charlie. You're a good time Charlie. So we've got some serious choices to make. So that means basically that if we, and I'm not saying I'm with you on that because I've made a different decision for my own life. Ezekiel's wheel is going the way that God tells us to go. I don't care. Well, I'm not into numbers. I'm not into numbers. God already told me some things at the beginning and the start of this ministry 8 years ago, and I was okay with it then. I'm okay with it now. I'm okay with it. I'm looking for warm, loyal, loving, godly people. People that are sold out no matter what. That's going to cost you. Love will cost you something. I don't know about you, what you know about love, but if you've never fallen in love, you know God is love. So when you have a romantic relationship with somebody and you fall in love with that other person, that's God's spirit resting on that other person and you, allowing you to fall into him. You're falling into him. So what makes us think it's so different when we're coming deeper into his heart? Hello, C1, C2, C3, C4. We're almost into C3 now as of next month. Actually, end of next month. And so we're in that bend. Hello. And I'm going to actually put this up on the screen for you to see real quick here. I can do this. This is where we're at, if you can see it. We're right about here, around the tribe of Zebulun, okay? And we're moving into June, but this is the bend because we're coming out of the lower dimensions of God's attributes right now as we move through June. And then we'll be moving into, we're in that bend. The bend is the higher dimensions of God's heart, okay? So if that's true, that means there's some pressure there. Would you not agree? Get that off there. Thank you. So thank you for not letting me mess that up, God. But if we're being challenged now in the bend and there's pressure there, hello, the pressure comes from, I told you what was coming in C2, strange fire versus holy fire. So we're being tested to see which we're going to choose. One is the flesh, the other one is the spirit. We're all being challenged right now as to, we can choose man's ways or we can choose God's ways. And part of coming up into God's ways is getting free from the things of the flesh, free from things that keep us earthbound, that keep us from coming up higher on the mountain. So the sheep are either going to stay stuck under familiar structures where leaders keep them stuck in false guilt by challenging them with false things that make them want to stay quiet. Don't speak the truth. Don't stir the pot. I'm not saying be disrespectful either. Honor will take you a long way in the kingdom. Honor actually is the voice of heaven. You want to go places in the kingdom? Imply honor. But don't sit underneath false shepherds who try to make you stay stuck underneath spirits of religion, structures of religion or structures of political ideologies. I'm not saying government mountain stuff. I'm talking about who you're schmoozing with. You got to make sure you're staying connected with the right people, running in the right circles so that you can work your way on and up through the hierarchy in your church. Come on. Only God instills people. Only God builds a house. I can't believe this stuff even exists in the church. So, you're putting these people, you leaders who are doing this, by the way, who are forcing these sheep to stay underneath your apparatuses. That's why a lot of these sheep are leaving a lot of these churches. If they're smart, because the shepherds that are putting them in this position are putting them in disobedience with God. You're causing them to sin, which means you're going to be held in high levels of accountability to God. You'll be judged by God. It also means you're a false shepherd. You're a wolf. If you're participating in this. Because there are certain things the Bible said we weren't to tolerate. This is the key of this conversation. And there's a certain point, if we want the body to turn around, that leaders have to step into this certain point or this certain position. And it's not always comfortable. It's not comfortable for me to get on here and start talking to you about these hard truths. Who do you think the backlash is? Who do you think immature Christians want to attack? Because they don't know any better. Because they've been taught wrongly. They've gotten away, that far away from love. So they get angry at people who talk to them about the truth. You're loving to me. In their spiritual diapers. They get upset. They throw tantrums. They pray their witchcraft prayers. They spew their cursings without realizing, because that's how they've been taught, by the way, too. So they've been taught to act like hell, to pray like hell. And then they get all this backlash, and then they wonder, why did I get hit? This is what my leader taught me to do. Because their hearts are corrupt. You're following the wrong leaders. Like draws like. You're drawn to people like yourselves. If you have a corrupt heart, you need deliverance, then you're drawn to leaders who have that same type of heart. But there are certain things the Bible said we weren't to tolerate. And just because God's truth makes you feel uncomfortable about who you might offend isn't his problem. It's not his problem. By the way, what are those things he said we weren't to tolerate? Jezebel? Corruptiveness in the church? He said to a little bit of leaven spoils the whole pot. And a lot of you don't like what it cost you. Which is why your world lacks truth. It's also why the world around us lacks truth. Because nobody's willing to stand up. Nobody's willing to stand up. This garbage. So how on earth, if we're not willing to stand up, do you think the world's going to learn the way in which they're to walk unless we begin to speak up and walk in it in God's true ways? How do you think they're going to learn this? We're just going to continue to look like them? By the way, it includes not tolerating Jezebel in the world. So it allows people to start getting free and coming back into love if they so choose. But somebody's got to stand up. Somebody's got to be the sacrificial lamb. Not that I'm that. Jesus is that. But you know what I mean? That's what part of this new move's about. And that brings me into how we're relating with others. Do you realize that many of you operate on the surface of relating when you relate with others? Do you realize you're stuck there? You've gotten so far away from love that you think that your normal is the normal in church, and you try to implement that around you in your lives, in your families, if you're a leader, in your churches, because you can't go any deeper than that. You're so surfacey, and anybody who challenges your truth, your false ideologies about who you think God is versus who he says he is. Hi, guys. Good afternoon. But it offends you. And I've got news for you there. Jesus didn't come to bring peace. He came to divide. He came to offend you with the truth. He offended Israel with the truth. He offended the Pharisees with the truth. He didn't care how he made them feel. He didn't buy their brand of love. He didn't like it. I've heard some of you label the new move of God because the deep truths about that are coming out of our mouths are making a lot of you feel uncomfortable. Some of you label us as intense or abusive for telling you the truth when, had you been listening to the truth and applying it, the church wouldn't be in the mess that it's in, nor the world. Because the church would have been setting the higher standards that God meant for them to walk in. But the church has compromised God's way, and hence here we sit as a dysfunctional church. Not this church, not Ezekiel's will, hopefully, but because we're telling you all truth. Our people are truth-bound, like draws like. So we're operating in unity and community, and we're teaching people how to get free, and we're correcting them along the way, not that we've arrived. But we're applying the biblical truths that God is teaching us. We're literally applying them. And we tell people before they join, if you don't like the truth, this is not going to go well for you. If you don't know what honor is, this is not going to go well for you. If you don't respect authority and you have a spirit of rebellion, we want to help you get free. But if you buck that, this isn't going to go well for you. Because we're implementing God's standards because we want what God has for us. And believe it or not, we got a whole lot of people moving in this one direction right now. It's growing. Majorly. So people are starting to get on board, and they're starting to realize that what they're doing or what they had been doing in past seasons isn't working anymore. And so here we sit in a dysfunctional church with people who can't go any deeper than the surface because it makes them feel too uncomfortable. And you know, truth overwhelms people. I can see where you'd feel like that. Truth can be overwhelming sometimes. But now the problem with the lack of dealing with truth is that the devil is eating the church's lunch because of the warfare that's hitting them, and they don't know how to fight. So God's trying to say, wake up, leaders. Start teaching your people, helping them get free. Start talking to them about these hard truths so that they can realign with Christ and come up higher, learning to rule and reign with him in heavenly places. But because of you leaders being too afraid to offend your religious peers or the sheep themselves, then when Jesus told us in Matthew 10:34, again, do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Well, what's the sword? It's the sword of truth. To divide the truth from a lie. So basically, the Lord is saying, this is what the Lord is saying in this hour, I believe. He's saying it to the sheep and to leaders. He's saying, when are you going to stop judging the new move and the leaders that are operating in this new move, who are bringing all truth, as uncomfortable as it makes you feel? When are you going to quit judging them and start getting on board? Quit judging the books by their cover of this deeper love, this new part of God's spirit, which houses deeper truth. God is all truth. Because the closer you walk with God, the more of his truth you operate in, especially if you house a gift of love. Hello, front runners, if you're a front runner, some are given the gift of joy, others faith. Very few are given the gift of love from birth. If you're a front runner, you house all truth, all love. You're surrounded by fire. You were born for the fire. So truth is nothing new to you. It shouldn't be if you call yourself a front runner. But if you're compromising and you have this gift of love, then you're in deep kimchi with the Lord. Because then you're in compromise. But when are you going to align so you can be used to take your flocks higher and deeper to become the standard bearers of Christ that he meant for them to be? When are you going to step out from underneath the political apparatuses and the religious apparatuses and allow God to clean you up where you can come into kingdom power? Learning to rule and reign with him in heavenly places. And you know, I don't know about you, but think about this like this. Sincerely, give this a thought. Have you ever seen a king or a queen in any movie? We didn't live around the kings and queens back in the 1700s and 1800s, but think about this. Have you ever seen a king or a queen have conversations like, well, I don't know if we should do this, honey, or king. This is the queen to her king. I don't know if we should do this. We might offend the townspeople. I don't know if we should say this to them. No. They made a decision. And they implemented it, hopefully based on what God told them to do. And then they activated it. Boom. You got ruling and reigning. Dominion power. Just like that. It was implemented. And there wasn't roughness to it. Maybe it was. Maybe they were rough around the edges. I don't know. But most good kings, queens, and priests, even in Israel's day, they were very decisive. Their yes meant yes, and their no was no. So God's trying to make us become men and women of our word, to where people can count on you. You're not flip-flopping. You're not all over the place. You're not double-minded. You're not afraid of what people say about you. Because believe me, it's going to come. The criticism will come. If you live in a fishbowl, it will come. You like my fish? Shark Week's coming, by the way. You know Shark Week's coming? My favorite time of the year. That's why I'm celebrating this. Mahalo. Anyway, let's get back on track. But you know, I think some people have really confused how kingdom operates. And you know, if you have a good dad, thank you, Holy Spirit. If you have a good dad, I don't know about you, I had a great dad. Not that I'm being biased, but I am. My dad wasn't perfect, but he was a good dad. And he was fierce. He was really fierce. He was special ops. But I had the privilege of knowing the tender side of my dad because he was my dad. I would see one side of him at work because I had lunch with him every Wednesday and Friday with he and my mom on Fridays. But I had lunch with him every Wednesday, just he and I. And I would watch him interact with his soldiers, and I would see this fierce side of my dad. And I'd go have lunch, and he was just my dad. And I always felt so lucky and so blessed to have known my dad like that. And I don't know why, but it gave me, I felt like looking back now, because he died when I was 22, but I feel like God gave me a blessing, an insight into the way that he operates. Because I've seen the fierceness of my father in heaven. I've seen God pull my face close to his own. I've seen him bend down and scare the crud out of me, the holy crud out of me. And that's not even the words I'm thinking. Take my chin into his. And he was so vast. He was huge. And it scared me so bad. I thought, am I in trouble? Am I in trouble? And he said, no. He said, I just wanted to see in your eyes. I wanted to see if I could see myself. And I'm sure sometimes I don't always depict my father. Some of you, none of us have it right all the time. We don't always get it perfect. But like my earthly dad, even though he was fierce, he had a way with me. I was my daddy's daughter. And I'm my father's daughter. But my dad knew my heart. He was highly prophetic. And he would say, you come over here with me. He pointed at me. You come over here with me. And he wouldn't do it publicly. He would call me out. But he'd say, if I ever catch you doing that again, skin your head. It's military talk. But, you know, he was very loving and kind. And then he would come back later and he'd tell me, he'd say, you know what, Missy? I love you. But sometimes you just don't listen. You know how a good dad disciplines their child. A good dad does that. And he does it in such a way that we know, okay, you know, yes, sir, I was wrong. Dad, please forgive me. I was wrong. You know, you can own your stuff, realign, move on. But that's the same as with Heavenly Father. He's the same way. But I think a few of you have forgotten how kingdom operates, and it's not man's ways. And yes, Jesus was a lover of the soul, but he also got very tough on people. And a lot of you ladies out there, if you're leaders and you're women, you'd probably think I was rough around the edges, and I'm sure I am to some of you. But this is the style God is bringing forward with this new move right now. He's trying to do a hard right with the body. He's trying to push them hard right around this upper dimensional thing of C2 into C3, into the higher dimensions of his spirit. It's a hard right. It's what I call that. That's what I call it. But he'll get tough on people sometimes and pushing them hard right, just like he did with Peter. When Peter questioned Jesus going up on the cross, he said, get behind me, Satan. Don't you ever tell me something other than what God the Father has never said himself to me. Don't try to tell me or convince me of something that God didn't say. He heard the Lord. Jesus knew he heard the Lord fine. And then here comes this little disciple, and he's trying to make him second guess himself. Don't you ever do that to me. And then he corrected the Pharisees. He called them a tomb of dead men's bones. He called them pits of vipers. Basically saying, look what you do to my people. You don't take them through deliverance and inner healing. You do what's comfortable for you because it suits your pocketbook. You follow all the rules, but you don't even have the rules apply to yourself. Basically, you forget that the Bible applies to you too. So, Lord's saying, what makes you think your sin is so different from this person's sin? That's what he's saying. Basically, please judge the crap in your own backyard before you judge the crap in another's. That's what he's basically saying. I'll make it plain for you. So he got tough on people. But he was also, he loved them enough to press them to step higher into kingdom, beyond their ability to operate on the surface, so that they could relate with truth. He's trying to get you to relate with him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's trying to teach you how to relate with him on this new level, if you choose to get free so you can actually enter in. That's what he's trying to help you step into right now. But some of you are so afraid, and it makes you feel so uncomfortable that you're bucking it. And now God's bucking you. Because if we're going to serve God at higher levels, we have to get free and begin telling the sheep things that can be very uncomfortable, which can sometimes cost us. Love will cost you something. Do you not agree? Love will cost you something. But I'd rather it cost me and the natural than cost me with God. See, sometimes we're so afraid of what we're going to lose if we obey the Lord in certain aspects and certain places in our walk. You're always being tested. It's not going to stop. Even when from now until you go home, you're every day you wake up, you're being tested by the Lord. You have choices to make every day. But it's all in how well you take a test and how well do you recognize that you always have an ability to choose kingdom or you can choose your own way. Which brings us to 1 Kings 7, 1 through 51. We're doing okay. We're only 30 minutes in. And it's talking about cooperation, getting on the same page as God. And I believe right now, you know, the body of Christ, I can feel the spirit of oppression. People are more focused on the world and world events than they are on heavenly events. And they're losing focus. They're losing focus on the promises God gave them. They're losing focus on their initial trajectory where God started them off in a pathway. Did you really think that enemy was going to work with you when you started out? That he was going to make your pathway easy? No. And part of C2 is that you're dealing with strange fire versus holy fire. So God is trying to teach you the difference between the two of them because it's all about building the mind of Christ like that which is in Christ Jesus. God's trying to help you think like he thinks under pressure, regardless of what's coming at you. And then he's trying to train you to choose kingdom every time. So you always accelerate through his heart yearly, every year. But this happened in David's time where God gave David the design for the temple. And then God gave him the materials to build it. But it was up to Saul to supervise it. It was up to King Solomon to supervise it. Saul was deposed and rejected by God. But if you know anything about King Solomon, he did things a little bit differently from his dad at first. I think in the end he got a little sloppy. I think sometimes when we get tired in our walks, we can get a little sloppy. And I think we stop paying attention, thinking that God's not paying attention to us, because it can really, and the sloppiness can cost us sometimes, by the way. But Solomon had such a strong gift of wisdom because he knew what it would take to bring all those people onto the same spiritual page. And just like God is trying to bring it forth today, we have so many sheep on so many different spiritual pages. And I believe the confusion has been brought in by Satan himself. I believe it was strategically done to keep us all separated, to keep us all in disunity. And now they're trying to bring in a false unity, bringing it in with New Age and combined with all these other things that are not of God. Do you know how to recognize God? When he's speaking, when he's not? But the Lord's saying in this hour, there's only one way to the king. And that's to do things his way. Whether it makes us comfortable or not, the king doesn't care. God doesn't care if we like his ways because he's not changing anytime soon. And in this season, he's demanding that we begin to align so that he can tabernacle over us. But there are so many people fighting him that they're beginning to be used by the enemy as a source of confusion, which was a demonic strategy to keep us in limbo. Did you know that? Are you helping to build God's church, or are you following your own directives and working with Satan? Who are you building with? Or are you building with God's destiny scroll within you? That's a way to find out truth, by the way. That's per Ron Horner, by the way. Let me side source him. Because if you're doing things your own way, you're doing things the wrong way, based on the works of man. Also based on Satan's strategies, not God's. But, you know, I find it interesting as we move deeper into this time, into the end times, how easily, and I understand too, because the light gets lighter and the darkness gets darker. And so people are getting so duped by the enemy, just duped. I mean, and that's because they're not being trained how to walk through April 30th and September 15th for one, to recognize the difference between strange fire versus holy fire. We're not being taught about how to fight the witchcraft, what it looks like, sounds like, feels like. Recognize it when it overtakes them and tries to manipulate their thinking. another direction. People, I don't even think people realize how to recognize different demonic entities when they try to get them off God's plan for their life, or even recognizing how the enemy will use people around you that you know, like your family, to pray witchcraft prayers over you. And then all of a sudden you are going one direction, and then all of a sudden in your heart, mind, will, and emotions, you're going another direction. I caught that the other day, and I knew someone was praying witchcraft prayers over me, and I broke them off and boom, got realigned. And I thought, wow, that was really subtle the way that happened. But that was strong. But these are things you need to learn about, C2. Because it's a high witchcraft time. And let me tell you, the devil does not want you going into the higher dimensions of God's heart. That's where you get kingdom ruling and reigning abilities. So, it's interesting. It's interesting how the enemy works in this hour, in these ways, and working through the sheep, and even in their immaturity and rebellion. He uses their own shortcomings against them. He'll even use leaders stuck in worthless apparatuses of religion or something these leaders are familiar with in his attempt to keep them stuck. And it's up to you front-runner leaders to set the new standard and hold the line. The one of you that backtracked, I'm speaking to you right now, and this is from the Lord to you. I'm not going to say your name. God gave you a word and you backtracked on it. Lord said, you better stand up on that word, because and you need to call and correct that. What you backtracked on, because you heard God right the first time and it's causing confusion right now. You need to correct it, because God's trying to set the body on a trajectory towards the truth so that we're standard bearers in the earth to give the world something to look at, so they know the difference between the truth and the lie. And if the front runners are even screwing around and doing this, my God, that's for you. But Lord's saying, you hold the line. Quit giving in and allowing the fears of others around you to cause you to give up new territory. Why else join the building effort? That's what he's saying. Don't consider yourself a front runner if you're not going to stand in what God initially told you. Most of you hear the Lord the first time. That's why you're a front runner. Leading out front. But in this season, just like he used Solomon to spell out every detail, God is spelling out every detail. He's spelling it out for each one of us. And God wants us to see the building detail perfectly. He wants us to see to it and attend to it perfectly. And by the way, the Lord is saying, quit calling my front runners abusive so that you can negate your excuses in wanting to stay the same. Quit doing that. The Lord says, I'm tired of it. You know the truth, and you know that they've been speaking the truth to you. You just don't want to change. Lord says you can fall on the rock, or the rock can fall on you, or you can lose your destiny. You can lose that. I can pass it to another, says the Lord. But it's becoming so obvious as God continues the sifting process of who is who, and it's causing some people's sin. It's causing them to stand out, or their sin is finding them out. But when we're obedient, you know what happens when you're obedient? The wealth transfer is coming. And even though this is hard, and I didn't tell you this part, but I will tell you this to encourage you right now. When you're obedient, it brings wealth beyond measure. Because the only way for you to step into the higher blessings of God, and you shouldn't be serving him just for the blessings. You need to be serving him because you love him. Just because you love him. Because everything else comes if you love kingdom. If you just love him, he'll give it all to you. But when you step into obedience with the Lord and you get aligned with God, it starts breaking away for the higher assignments to come in. He starts giving you more responsibility because you've been obedient in the small things. We can trust you with more. A lot of you have been asking for more, but you haven't done the small things that he told you in the past to do. So how can we expect him to operate and help us to step into the big things? But the Lord's saying, this is a time. He wants his people to come in so they can get free. They can just learn how to be free. Free to be. Flaws and all. Learning to love at the depths God meant for us to love at. But also learning how to rule and reign. And getting out of these old apparatuses that have taken them nowhere. We're in a shift upward this month into higher dimensions of God's heart. The Lord says, are you pressing through with the pressure of the shift, or will you get left behind? Because part of the shift includes you dealing with pressuresome issues that cost you something. So you're either man-pleasing or you're God-pleasing. He wants you to be a standard bearer. And the Lord's saying, also please remember that the anointing is what breaks the yoke. And so this new anointing on these new frontrunners for this new move houses a hefty anointing of truth to break these apparatuses off. So it's not going to make everybody feel very comfortable. So now God has equipped us to be very strong under that anointing with truth. So it doesn't always mean we're going to look like the old move. We're not ever going to look like the old move, actually. But it also doesn't mean that we don't love. We actually love deeper than you do. 1 Peter 1:22. Some are given the gift of joy, others faith. You are given the gift of love from birth. I just don't show it as well as some of you, or some of you think you do. Some of you are just stuck on the surface, actually. Now that you're being challenged, you're backtracking. Oh, no, we can't go deeper like that. No, no, that'll offend people. How do you think they get there? But we're just being who Christ built for us, or built us to be. It's a ruling and reigning anointing. It's not abuse. Quit judging the book by its cover, please, and read the book. Get to know people's hearts, having conversations with them so God can show you much more. That brings us to Acts 7:30 through 50. And it talks about Israel's rejection of truth, or rejection of God's deliverers that he sent them. They rejected him then, they're rejecting them now. But this isn't anything new. Israel opposed Moses, they opposed Joseph, and then they later became their redeemer. They even rejected the prophets, pardon me, that God had sent to warn them so that they could come back to his ways. Israel even rejected their own Messiah because God was trying to help them, just like he's trying to help America now by revealing his patience during a time while he's also revealing the hardness of man's heart. But the spirit that's been operating in the church today is nothing more than stiff-neckedness, fear, and moral superiority. That's all it is. By religious leaders demanding to stay underneath a dead structure. While God is saying, Pharaoh, let my people go, or I will force you to, because I love the sheep too much to leave them under delusional, pharisaical care by shepherds who only care for their pocketbooks. So there's a ray of hope in all this, actually. Because even though, and I believe this is happening too, I sense that some people are coming around right now. But even though Israel rejected their deliverers the first time, they accepted them the second time. Thank God. Which is true of Moses and Joseph, and it's also going to be true of Jesus when he returns. But how does this play in God's dealing with the nation of America? Pardon me. Back in Israel's day, Israel rejected the Father when they allowed Stephen and John the Baptist to be slain, and then they killed Jesus. But when they rejected his Holy Spirit, which was the only tool they had, because that's God's teacher, that was the only tool that would move them up the mountain into kingdom, ruling, and reigning abilities. And that's when God said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now I'm getting involved. Because this is getting a little bit much out of hand. And I know a lot of you would probably say, wait a minute. I'm operating in the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm a tongue talker. And, you know, to that I'm going to say, beautiful, great. But Some of you are still kicking at the pricks, Paul, in your fears of not operating in the same spirit of truth, because this new move is throwing you off. It's throwing you totally out of kilter, and you're trying to please man instead of God, because your faith is in your platform or in numbers instead of God. And if God built your house, then he's going to keep it. He wants you to know that. If it's built on the rock, he's going to keep it. But you're being tested. And sometimes houses are tested. Leaders are tested to see who they're going to serve as God brings them higher. Will they serve themselves or man? Are you just trying to fit in and operate in certain circles? Are you really here to be a part of God's house? Help correct the house and help clean up the house. Because God's the only one sitting on the throne the last time I looked. Ours is next to his, not in place of his. Which brings us to Psalms 128, 1 through 6. We're doing okay today. And it talks about the blessings that God sends when we obey him. When God gives us blessing and enjoyment while we have our employment to the king, where our work brings a blessing and not a curse. Your disobedience can bring a curse. You know that, right? Especially if you're in leadership. So there's something to be said when we obey the Lord, even when he challenges the very fiber of our being, taking us into new avenues of truth that we've never walked in before. And, you know, I honestly have to say too, I believe some of you have. But I just think you've forgotten because you allowed the world to creep in around you. Because I think there was a place in the church where the church was trying so badly, and I kind of remember it back in the early 90s, where the church was trying so hard to look professional within the music industry and things like that. So we were trying to appeal to the world, which I get that. I understand that, but that didn't mean we were supposed to compromise God's standard. And I feel like a lot of people have compromised. And so Lord's saying this is an exit strategy, and this exit strategy might be rough on some of you. Because this is an hour now where God wants you to stand out. He doesn't want you to blend into the world. But God's working everything out for your good. And I know a lot of you are probably thinking, well, everything's working fine for me. We're growing and we're doing fine. And now you're asking me to do this. God, what do you want from me? Lord's saying, I want you to stand for the truth. I know a lot of you probably think, well, I was standing for the truth. And God's like, yeah, really? You mean your version of it? Because it made you feel more comfortable? Which is why God's had to bring in a strong realignment. Do you want your work to be a ministry of the Lord, or do you want it to be a ministry of man? So that it touches everyone around the table. Not just your own. Because the kingdom of God that I know is a team effort. The apostles always worked as a team. Where we go one, we go all. And that's a military mentality, by the way. What you do affects everybody around you. You grieve with those who grieve, and you rejoice with those who rejoice. It's a biblical principle. It's not just about an I, me, my, mine attitude. No, I got to CYA all the way. Let's call it what it is. Not to be crass, but I'm not religious. I'm not wearing your brand of armor, Saul. Not religious. I'm calling things what they are. God's cleaning things up. And, you know, I think that's where the church misses it. But the God that I know, I mean, he's a God of justice. He's a God of truth. He's a God who, he tells us, he says he means what he says. He says what he means, and he means what he says. And I've tried to test that throughout my lifetime, and it hasn't worked very well for me. I've learned to obey him, stay aligned with him when he tries to take me into new places of his spirit. In order to go there, that means I got to clean up a few things. So the Lord's saying in this hour, he's ready for his whole body to be blessed. He doesn't want it just for the chosen few. He wants his family back, and he's tired of irresponsible leaders getting in the way because of their own fears of what it might cost them, when it was God who placed them into position, some of them. The others were self-appointed and not God-anointed. God wants the blessing to spread from coast to coast and then generation to generation so that America can get back on its feet again, readied for revival, to bring back the true fear of the Lord, the honor of the Lord. That's what he wants. He wants to be first again. Which brings us to Proverbs 16:31 through 33. We're topping out at about 51 minutes. That went by fast. But it states that gray hair is a crown of splendor. It's attained in the way of righteousness. Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'll say that. The lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. And what that means, I think, you know, it's interesting because I was talking to our teams this morning, you know, it's been hard to, because a lot of you are warriors, and I get that. A lot of our teams are warriors, the prophetic warriors. It's hard to learn new ways. It's hard to come out of a war mode, I think, which really depicts the 12 tribes around the outer court gates as you move through the heart of God every year. You've got to learn the attributes of each tribe. You've got to learn the negatives of each tribe. And you don't want to get hung up in the negatives. But the biggest part of the hang-ups with Dan is warring. And I think when you've been in warfare mode for so long, you can have a tendency to lose discipline in letting God fight our battles for us and learning how to do things God's way. And if you know anything about David, by the way, David was one of the strongest warriors that ever lived, ever. And the reason he won is because he included God in everything, and he did only what God told him to do. So I believe that we're shifting out of this old mindset, out of the flesh, and doing things our own way in this season as God brings us up around this bend as intercessors and as frontrunners into this place where now we're only saying and praying what we hear our Father saying and praying. Another point of this is this, is that the purpose of the courts, and I don't think people stipulate this enough, I think we forget that the purpose of the courts is to, because it acts as a, it's a multifunctional tool. It's a warfare tool. It's a deliverance tool. It's a prayer tool, just to name a few. It's a healing tool. And so when you go into the courts, you have to understand that it's going to reveal the condition of your heart. So if you're praying in the courts from a corrupt heart, none of your words will stand. Because God said if God didn't speak it, it has to fall to the ground. If love didn't speak it, it has to fall to the ground. So it reveals the condition of the heart. So for those of you who are used to getting people back and operating in the flesh, you're stuck in your own ways and you refuse to change and be changed. God's saying, your ways are my ways. You're not going to be going very far in this new move unless you change a few things about yourself and allow me to deliver you from a few things about yourself, so that you can come higher. Lord says, I'm not obligated to take you higher, closer to myself, unless you change, unless you clean yourself up, because I can't be near sin. He won't be near sin. He's a pure and holy God. He tells us to guard our hearts, right? Don't you think he guards his, front runner, if you're an armor bearer for the king? So he's saying, if you're going to come into the, there's an outer court, there's an inner court, you're coming trying to get into the Holy of Holies near the Lord's heart with the heart of David. But that means you're willing to clean up a few things, and you're only going to be saying and praying what you hear your Father saying, not what your feelings direct you to do, what your lack of self-discipline directs you to do. Because that way, that guarantees when you're only following the Lord, you're getting your prayers answered. That's a trick to consider. That's a tip and a trick. But I hope you're encouraged today. My name is Dr. Missy Hood. I do the 15-minute rev. I also head up Ezekiel's Wheel. If you're looking for a church home, I don't have that up on my screen right now. Email us. issueandnavigator@gmail.com. I can't believe I did that. I don't know where it went. I'll have to find it and put it up. It's somewhere. It's somewhere there. There it is, right there. I'll pull it up there for you so now you can see it. That's where it is, EzekielsWorld.org. Sorry about that. I got busy in my designing last night. I had too much fun. Oh, well. So anyway, I hope you guys have a great weekend. I always enjoy getting on here and talking with you guys. Sometimes I give you a hard word. Sometimes it's not. I just say what I hear my father saying. And, you know, it is what it is right now. But I will say this. The one thing I've learned about God is even when I don't like what he says, I still obey him. I still obey him because, and I get just as ruffled sometimes in my feathers as some of you guys do, because I'm just as human as the next person. But the one thing I know about him is if I obey him, there's blessings on the other side of that. And so the second I get realigned, things start flowing and start going again. And isn't that our ultimate goal? That's our ultimate goal, helping people get free. But it sure can be stressful getting there. It's stressful getting there. And so, you know, but he loves you too much to leave you there. And so that's why I'm just saying what I'm hearing him say. But I do really, really believe he loves you too much. He doesn't want you guys to be on these lower sides of these mountains because of the warfare or the darkness that's raising up around some of you. And you've got to learn how to fight. You've got to get free in order to come up. So anyway, with that, I'll leave you with that. I'm talking too much, but I hope you guys have a blessed rest of your day today. And then I'll look forward to hopefully seeing you on Tuesday of next week. But until then, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.